Hey, so I'm super excited today on our next edition of Coffee Talk. We are honored to have Lieutenant General Stubbs, the Director of the Army National Guard, here with us today to talk a few minutes. And we'll ask him a few questions and get his feedback. But I want to highlight today I'm using, this is my coffee mug of the day. So we've got the dust off. So this is Charlie, 2 of the 238th GSAB mug, celebrating the Aviation Brigade. So shout out to the Aviation Brigade. Great flyovers this weekend. It is Memorial Day weekend. And so we've seen you guys in action earlier today and last weekend, and I know tomorrow for the race. And so, General Stubbs, we spent the morning out at an amazing Memorial Day ceremony recognition. We got to spend the morning with some Gold Star families. And when I spend time with those Gold Star families, it just drives home to me the importance of not only what we do as an organization, but the seriousness of the role that we have as leaders to ensure that our soldiers and our airmen are ready when the nation calls. And here in the state of Indiana, and aligned with you and your priorities on the Army National Guard side, you know, our number one priority is warfighter readiness, full stop. That's the number one priority for all of our MTO organizations within the state of Indiana. Every commander from the division commander on down to a rifle platoon leader knows warfighting readiness. That's what they're focused on. At the state level, we have some other priorities that are designed to enable warfighting readiness. One of those is force structure optimization, ensuring we've got the right force structure to fight the next fight. And then modernization of our facilities, ensuring our warriors have the facilities they need to train and be ready. And then finally, strategic comms. We've got to tell our story. We don't do a great job historically of telling about the amazing things that we do in the not only the Indiana National Guard, but I just think the National Guard as a whole. But this morning, I'm thinking about that our job is to make sure people are ready. And so we talk warfighter readiness. And as I go around the state and I talk to people, you know, honestly, that's one of the most most in-depth conversation we have is, what does that mean? What does warfighting readiness mean to you when we say you have to be an expert at the basics? And we talk about, what does that mean? And I thought this would be a great opportunity for the team to hear directly from you on what you think warfighting readiness means to a soldier in the National Guard.
Okay, fantastic. Hey, first off, General Munich, thanks for having me here. It's great to be in Indiana. My first trip into Indiana, my first time in Indianapolis, and what a remarkable opportunity to be able to represent almost 331,000 Army National Guard soldiers. You talk about warfighting readiness, and I want to go back to really why we exist as an Army National Guard. And I've been thinking about this over the last several months. We in the National Guard, we have a saying, always ready, always there. And we are absolutely anchored to that. We should always be ready. And then when the nation needs us, and when our communities need us, when our governors call, we are always there. But for me, as the director of the Army National Guard, the primary combat reserve of the United States Army, we make up 42% of the combat power of the Army. Think about that. 42% of the combat power, the killing power of the Army, resides in the Army National Guard. So yes, we are always ready. We are always there. But ready for what? And I say we're ready for combat. And our readiness for combat means we're ready for anything. And that can manifest in a number of different ways. I mean, obviously, we have our warfighting mission. We're deployed abroad right now. We are in the fight. Epic Fury. We have the 42nd Infantry Division. We have a number of Army National Guard formations, whether it be infantry, artillery, engineer, aviation, you name it. They're in the fight today. We're deployed all over the globe. And then, of course, we're deployed here at home, the southern border. We're doing a lot of things domestically in support of our governors and then in support of federal authorities. So to do all those things, your focus in Indiana is spot on, a warfighting focus, right? Yes, we've got to be ready for combat. And then with that, with a warfighting mentality, the notion, the idea, ready for combat, ready for anything, it starts with the basics. Brilliance in the basics. So this is the way I kind of see it. And I think it's brilliance in the basics at echelon. So it starts with the individual soldier. And you guys have got tremendous soldiers here inside the great state of Indiana. So for me, it starts with the individual. It starts with that person that we recruit, that raises his or her right hand. We send them off to training. We get them basically trained. Then we train them within their specific MOS. We then integrate them into the formation, and we pour into that individual, right? It starts with the individual soldier, proficient in their warrior task and drills. They're physically fit, they're resilient, and they are a valuable contributing member of that team, whether it's, you know, the team, squad, platoon, company, battalion, and so on, because it starts, the individual building block is the individual soldier of any unit, obviously. So as we think about brilliance in the basics, what does it mean at the individual level? You're trained, you're ready, you're resilient, you're physically fit, and you can then integrate into a larger organization. So as we think at echelon, then from the individual, we move to our teams, and our sections, right? And for those teams, sections, and squads, brilliance in the basics to me is, with the days that we have available, the time that we have available to us, typically 39 days a year, we can certainly build lethal teams, sections, and squads. How do we do that? We do that through live fire. We do that through crew live fire training, small unit maneuver live fire exercises. We've got the time to do those things, right? From the individual aggregated into the team, the section, the squad, we've got the time to build lethal squads, sections, and teams within our organization. At the next level, 39 days, yes, but I say we can also get after platoon-level training in 39 days. We can be maneuver proficient at platoon level within the time that we have allotted. It's just how we use that time, how creative we are with the time, how efficient we are with the time, how focused we are. And I submit to your team here in Indiana, and I submit to all of our guardsmen across the nation, with the time we have available, we can be platoon proficient. And then we get after it through a multi-echelon training type mentality or a construct, and we can overlay that company and battery command and control within our situational training exercises, within our lanes training, within our live fire exercises, FTXs and the like, and we can build reps and sets at the company and battery level with the time that we have available. And then lastly, you know, for me, as we think about our staffs, either at the battalion or the brigade level, at the division level, you got the 38th division here, just being proficient with staff processes and functions, the military decision-making process and everything else. So let me just kind of circle back, you know, at the foundational level, it's that individual soldier, physically fit, trained, ready, resilient, you know, a soldier that's tough, that's full of grit, that can overcome, improvise, and adapt, right? Starts with the individual. And then we can aggregate readiness at the crew, team, and squad level. We can build those lethal type units at that echelon. We can train at platoon level. We can maneuver at platoon level with company and battery command and control. And then we have proficient division, brigade, and battalion staffs. I think we can do all that with the time and the resources that we have at our disposal right now.
So I'm so glad that this is recorded, because the next time I get that question, I'm just going to take this and I'm going to push play. I mean, we are in alignment, but the way you say that and the way you share that and highlighting that the ready for what, and then the ready, when should you be ready as the other piece of that equation, and always medically ready, and your family has to be ready. And you know, I've even stopped using the term reserves when we talk about the National Guard. We are an operational part of the joint force. We've often struggled. Are we a strategic reserve? Are we an operational reserve? I say we're an operational member of the joint force. That's what I say. Because we're engaged every day across the globe. You just toured our JOC. You saw the places where we are today, both on the Army and the air side of the house. The amount of National Guard that is in the fight in epic fury, tremendous. And some of the amazing things that have happened with the National Guard folks, the 42nd, some of the folks from Wisconsin and things that are downrange, and our own Hoosiers that are there right now as well, doing great things, different organizations there, both on the Army and on the air side. And so you talk about we've got to be ready right now. And we're doing that and trying to be ready right now on the Army side of the house in a moment of transition. And so we're going through an Army transformation initiative, and the Indiana National Guard was blessed, in my opinion, to be selected to go through this with the 76 IBCT, now MBCT, as one of the first, along with the 116th out of Virginia. We've been honored to kind of lead that. Colonel Sean Eakin and his team and all of his battalion commanders and staff, and push through with not all the TTPs defined, not all of the equipment that they need, and we're still not fielded all the things that we have, but we're not letting that slow us down. And I know that all of the Army is going through this same thing. So as we talk about Army transformation from your perspective at the Army Guard and your conversations with the Army and the Chief of Staff of the Army, how important is this transformation and how do you see it affecting the Army National Guard?
Well, first and foremost, let me say, hey, what a time to be in the National Guard, to be in the Army National Guard. What an opportunity we have to shape our national, shape our Army National Guard for the next generation. So this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity. You think about when you and I were lieutenants back in the 90s, pre-9/11, mm-hmm. All the things that we've seen and done, how our formations have morphed over the last 25 to 30 years or so. So we're kind of at that inflection point now, if you will, in terms of the way we're structured and organized and the like. I've got four focus areas as a director of the Army Guard, and we've kind of touched on the first two in our previous dialogue, but you know, it's growing combat-ready soldiers and leaders. Again, it starts with the individual soldier. We want to make sure our soldiers are trained, that they're prepared, they can be the best that they can be for their respective units. Then we got to build lethal units. You know, we do that at echelon, just as I described, at the team, squad, section level, at the platoon level, company, battalion, brigade, all the way up to division in our case. My third focus area is, you know, we got to transform for the future. And there is such great opportunity in front of us with respect to this transformation and contact initiative, continuous transformation initiative that the Army is embarking upon and has embarked upon over the last year and a half or so. We had a decision to make. Do we kind of stand back and see how it goes, or do we jump in with both feet, understanding that this is not going to be easy, change is difficult. We've been kind of this pre-9/11, post-9/11 type organization. Yes, we are an operational force deployed around the world, deployed right here at home. But it's time, I think, to move to the next thing. The character of war is changing just like at an exponential rate. We see it playing out before our eyes in eastern Ukraine right now in the Russia-Ukraine conflict. We see it playing out before our eyes as it relates to Operation Epic Fury. The character of war is changing, and it demands that we change along with it. The formations that we fought during the global war on terrorism, and they were primarily legacy Cold War formations. So we're not in that environment anymore. Over the last couple of years, we've shifted from counterterrorism, low-intensity type conflict, and now we are principally focused on lower-scale combat operations. But in this environment, with the technologies that are evolving at such a rapid pace, it demands a new look, a new way. And that's what continuous transformation is driving. So as we talk about our legacy close combat formations. In the Army National Guard, we've got 27 fighting brigades. We've got 20 infantry brigades right now. Well, I should say we have 18 because we've just transformed two of our infantry brigades, the 76th and the 116th Brigade in Virginia, to the Mobile Brigade Combat Team. A radical transformation, you know, as we take down our cav squadrons, as we take down our brigade engineer battalions, we organize around three mobile infantry battalions with a brigade headquarters and a light support battalion, and then all the other technology and enabling type capabilities that go along with that, whether it be drone technology, next generation command and control, and then, you know, new weapons and new mobility platforms. It's an incredible opportunity. So what the 76 is going to do for us in many ways, just like the 116th in Virginia, is really going to serve as a pathfinder for the entire Army National Guard moving forward, especially within our close combat force. So you guys are going to do the combat readiness exercise. You're going to learn a lot of lessons there. You're going to experiment with the formation, tactics, techniques, and procedures. And then you're going to learn a lot of things that you will then apply next summer at the Joint Readiness Training Center when this brigade goes downrange to participate in what the Army calls a transformation in contact, a TIC rotation. So you'll go up against Geronimo, you know, the world's best op for, in a mobile brigade formation organization. And again, you're going to continue to learn lessons and experiment, not just on behalf of the 76 and the Indiana National Guard, but on behalf of the Army National Guard and the greater United States Army. So the things that you do, the experiences that that you undertake and the lessons that your leaders and your soldiers learned are going to be applied to the next 18 infantry brigades that transformed to mobile brigade combat teams. And then, oh, by the way, we started with five armor brigades and we're transforming three of our five armor brigades to mobile brigades, along with our two striker brigades that'll transition to mobile brigade combat teams as well. So in the end, the close combat formations of the Army National Guard, you're going to have two armor brigades and 25 mobile brigade combat teams. And what a mobile brigade combat team allows you to do, to be light, lethal, agile, a little bit more survivable, right? And then also maybe more affordable for the nation. Mm-hmm. It's going to allow us to be a more affordable force and really a more malleable force, a lot of flexibility with respect to the things that we're expected to do in the warfight and the things that we're going to be asked to do here at home. A mobile brigade is going to be that much more agile to respond to the needs both of a combatant commander or a governor as we support domestic operations.
There's a lot going on. A
lot going on.
Just a little bit. You started out and you said this is a great time.
Yes.
To be in the National Guard.
Standing still is not an option.
No.
Right? If we stand still, we're going to get left behind. And again, Indiana, what a great opportunity for this state, the Hoosier State, to be right there at the cutting edge of transformation.
Sir, we're honored to be there. I talked to the soldiers that are going through this, and they're excited. There's trepidation and anxiety.
As
but
there
they're
should
looking
be.
Forward to the CRX, which will be here at Camp Atterbury.
Yep.
The team's done an amazing job getting ready for that. And so at the beginning, I mentioned we were here for Memorial Day, and you gave amazing comments today, and I want to say that, amazing comments at the Memorial Day ceremony. So to our soldiers and airmen, if you have an opportunity, please go pull those up. You can find them on YouTube and listen to what General Stubbs had to say. It's pretty moving, and you talked about earn it.
Yeah.
And earning it. And so what I want to say is that we here in Indiana, we plan on earning the legacy of those that came before us and continuing that. And I want to give you the opportunity, first say thank you for coming here and participating today, but I'll give you the opportunity for the last word today.
Well, General Munich, thank you. You've got an incredible organization here. I've been on the ground just a little over 24 hours, had an opportunity to go out to Camp Atterbury and see Task Force Raptor and then sit down with some of your leaders at the tactical edge and talk about continuous transformation, everything that the 76 Infantry, Mobile Brigade Combat Team is doing.
I do it all the time.
Yeah. And you've got incredible talent. You've got young officers and non-commissioned officers and soldiers inside this organization, like you said. They are hungry, and they are excited. They are motivated. They see the future. They understand the future better than I do, and they are getting after it. Yes, we don't have everything that we want. We don't necessarily have everything that we need, but your team is figuring it out, and they're figuring it out in stride. And they are innovating at a remarkable pace. So I want to commend your folks for that. You mentioned Memorial Day. What an incredible time to be here, to be there at the Indiana War Memorial, to have an opportunity to spend time with our Gold Star families, to address that crowd as the keynote speaker, you know, one of the honors of my professional life. So I thank you for affording me that. You talk about earn it. Yeah, I think it's very simple. And if you go out and you look at the comments, but I'll just say, go watch the last 15 minutes of Saving Private Ryan, and you'll understand what that means. And that's something that we have to do every day. For those that have gone before us, for those that have made the ultimate sacrifice, paid the ultimate price on our behalf, we owe it to them to go out and earn it every day. This is an incredible profession to serve the nation, wearing the cloth of our uniform as a United States Army soldier, as an Army National Guard soldier. But we can't take it for granted. You know, we gotta go to the mat every day. Go to the mat every day for Indiana and for your citizens of Indiana. Go to the mat every day for the citizens of this great country, because we do live in the best country in the world. And then lastly, what I'll say, you know, be proud of who you are as a guardsman. There's nobody else that does what we do, right? So when the nation calls, we're there. We're in the fight. But at the same time, when our citizens need us, you know, we are the 911 force inside the United States.
We're doing it today.
Right, we're doing it. Yes. So when our citizens, our neighbors, you know, something bad happens inside of Indiana, inside my home state of Arkansas, who does the governor call? Right? Our first responders are there, absolutely. But when it gets bad, they look to us. And you think of the uniqueness of our dual purpose, our dual role, the dual nature of who we are as a warfighting force, but at the same time, a force that is able to respond in the homeland. So we need to take great pride in being a guardsman. I'm a son of an Army Guard chaplain. The first soldier I ever met was my daddy. He was an Army Guard chaplain in the Kentucky Guard, and I am proud to be a guardsman. I'm proud to be a guardsman, and I hope all your troopers are as well.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming out and spending time with us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.